Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.
In the first little section of Shishogi, or what is truly meant by training and enlightenment, by Great Master Dogen, there's the following little paragraph. Avoid the company of those who are deluded and ignorant with regard to the truth of karmic consequence, the three states of existence, and good and evil. It is obvious that the law of cause and effect is not answerable to my personal will, for without fail evil is vanquished and good prevails. If it were not so, Buddhism would never have appeared and Bodhidharma would never have come from the West. There are times when I reflect on the meaning of various little bits and pieces of Buddhist teachings, and recently this one has been coming to mind. Avoid the company of those who are deluded and ignorant with regard to the truth of karmic consequence, the three states of existence, and good and evil. For those who are living in the world, it is pretty hard to completely avoid the company of those who are spiritually very ignorant. For all of us, it is simply not possible to entirely avoid the company of those who are spiritually very ignorant. So let's just reword this to kind of reveal a little bit more of the meaning. What if we read it like this? Avoid taking refuge in those who are deluded and ignorant with regard to the truth of karmic consequence, the three states of existence, and good and evil. This puts things in a little more practical context. While we cannot entirely avoid the company of those who are spiritually very ignorant, we can almost always avoid taking refuge in those who are spiritually very ignorant. There's a kind of old-fashioned phrase that isn't used much anymore. Keeping company with people. It was often used in Victorian times. You might read it in a Victorian writing. Someone was keeping company with loose women or keeping company with gamblers, that kind of thing. Again, this is not a phrase that's used much anymore. But it does apply here. The meaning of keeping company with, nowadays you say kind of hanging out with, and fraternizing in a familiar way with. So what Great Master Dogen is recommending here, and recommending very strongly, is that we keep our spiritual wits about us, and that we draw ourselves back inside ourselves when we are surrounded by people who are really deluded. We do not become too familiar with them. We keep a bit of a respectful distance when possible, physically, but certainly spiritually. Keep a spiritual distance. Try to stay close to our own center and be still. make a particular effort to be still and mindful when in the company of such people, so as not to join in with and or be influenced by delusion. Delusion is very sticky stuff. With the best of intentions, in certain circumstances, it's hard not to get some of this sticky stuff stuck to oneself. So this again is a very strong caution. And we need to be aware of what it implies as well as what it says. It says avoid the company of those who are spiritually very ignorant. It implies being particularly mindful when we are in spiritually dangerous circumstances. Holding to our center with meditation in a particularly conscious and deliberate fashion when we are surrounded by delusion. This implies to the company that we keep. In modern times, with so much digital media, it also applies to the extent to which we expose ourselves to really worldly viewpoints and opinions, and the ways in which we react to such things. I think if Great Master were writing this today rather than back in the 1230s to 1240s, he would be cautioning us about getting too involved in social websites, which are full of opinionation and deluded views. He would be cautioning us about what we expose ourselves to through television, newspapers, radio, and the like. He would be cautioning us about getting too involved in political fads of the moment, social media fads of the moment. He would be saying, keep a prudent, mindful distance between you and all this stuff. Guard yourself spiritually. Don't be foolish and squander your spiritual wealth, your wealth of merit, on a bunch of worldly confusion and fluff. Notice as he says, It is obvious that the law of cause and effect, the law of karma, is not answerable to my personal will. For without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. If it were not so, Buddhism would never have appeared and Bodhidharma would never have come from the West. Why is this included in this paragraph? Well, it's because people who are really ignorant spiritually don't understand this. They do not understand that the law of karma is not answerable to my personal will. They do not understand that the law of karma is not answerable to their personal will. In other words, they don't understand that when you do evil actions, you will reap suffering. And no matter what you think about what you are doing, why are you doing it, and what the effects are going to be, this is the inevitable case. If you do willfully evil acts, you will reap the consequences in suffering, your personal suffering. Law of karma is not answerable to my personal will. I can't just wish it away. It's like the law of gravity. Pretending that you can fly by waving your arms doesn't make you able to fly. If you leap off a roof waving your arms, you are not going to fly away like Superman. You are going to fall and hurt yourself. The law of karma functions just like this. It is inexorable. It is an absolute law. Very ignorant people do not understand this and therefore act very irresponsibly. The more ignorant one is, the more irresponsibly and recklessly one acts. Because after all, if you're a god in your own head, you can get away with anything, or so you think. Note that he also says, for without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. Why include this here? Because that's also part of the law of karma. If one behaves sufficiently recklessly to bring down a great torrent of suffering on oneself and misery, one is eventually going to make the connection between one's reckless actions, one's evil actions, and the suffering. And with this, when this happens, whenever this happens, it proves that evil is vanquished and good prevails. In other words, the Eternal turns everything through the working of the law of karma to good in the long run. Therefore, it says, if this were not so, Buddhism would never have appeared. Buddhism appeared because the Buddha was enlightened. But the Buddha didn't start out enlightened. The Buddha started out ignorant and confused, like all of us. And the Buddha found a way of spiritual training that led to his enlightenment, then continued his training throughout his life, making a great store of merit from which we are still benefiting 2,500 years later. And this is a wonderful example of the teaching that without fail, evil is vanquished and good prevails. We're able to train in Buddhism because of this truth, that out of all the confusion and ignorance, out of all the misery and suffering, comes the insight into the necessity for spiritual training, the necessity to find the middle path. And then enlightenment manifests naturally. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds.